What do you think of 0 hours contracts? There's a huge controversy raging over them. They mean that you have no guarantee of work and can be sent home by your boss without working. And yet, you'd still be counted as being technically employed. Recent survey has suggested that over 1 million people in the UK are working under these type of contracts. If you're on one, want to hear from you today. How difficult is it on one of these things? If you're an employer, is it the only way through? Is this exploitation of workers? The Green Party leader, Natalie Bennett, with us today. Morning, Natalie.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Ruth Porter from the Institute of Economic Affairs. Good morning, Ruth.
Morning.
Natalie, what are your thoughts?
Basically, the Green Party, we believe that these contracts should be banned. They're extremely exploitative. And they're simply leaving people in a situation, workers, where they don't know whether they're going to earn £0 in a week or, you know, a full 40-hour week salary. They're in a situation where how do you pay the rent? How do you pay for food? You know, you can't set your life up with these kind of contracts. And that simply is no way to go forward.
Ruth?
What's certain is that these kinds of contracts are a really important part of our labour market. And one of the reasons why we've managed to retain fairly low unemployment during a really difficult economic time has been because of the kind of flexibility that we've got. And I mean, it's clear that in some industries, you absolutely need this kind of flexibility. If you're a small business owner, you run a restaurant, you've got absolutely no idea how many customers are going to turn up, and you simply cannot afford to employ staff on the certainty that your restaurant is going to be full all the time. I think what's also interesting is when you look at the surveys which have been done of people who are on these contracts, actually what Natalie said isn't true. For in the vast majority of cases, people are getting the kinds of hours that they want. And it's only 16% of people who said that they were failing to get sufficient hours. In a lot of cases, if people are a student, if they're perhaps retired, they're perhaps a single parent, they can need flexibility. They might not want the same set number of hours each week. So these are a really important part of our labour market.
An important part of the labour market which allows people to be exploited, does it not?
Doesn't allow people to be exploited.
Well, how does it not?
People are making a choice to take this kind of work.
Well, how is it a choice if there's no other option?
In the majority of cases, these are people who they value flexibility. So it may well be that, as I say, they're students.
Oh, Ruth.
Or it may be that they're retired.
Ruth, wise up.
Maybe, do you know
Ruth,
what
Ruth, maybe... Ruth, hold on a minute. The reason I'm saying wise up is you know the current economic climate. You know, you must know it is simply not true to suggest that the majority of people would have total insecurity in their lives rather than taking a constant, be it a staff position or a permanent contract, or at least know how many hours they're working that week. You must know it's untrue that people prefer the flexibility of maybe having no money at the end of a couple of weeks.
Well, what exactly, we and the fact is,
all the
it's young people
is
who are most affected.
The majority of the people.
Hold on, we've got to let her reply, Natalie. One second.
To be really clear, and this isn't my opinion, this is what the surveys show, the majority of people who are on these contracts are happy with them. You are absolutely right that there are some people for whom who are on these contracts for whom it does make life very, very difficult. But the alternative is that those people don't have a job at all, which is why they've signed up to these contracts in the first place.
But they don't have a job at all some weeks. This is the whole point. They're registered as employed, but they're sitting in the house doing nothing, desperate to work. They're registered as employed, but they haven't got any work. And then you can have employers saying...
But they are able to work sometimes when the hours are available, which is why they've chosen to go on these contracts.
How do you live your life like that?
Incredibly difficult. I mean, it makes life difficult also for things like benefits. But what are you suggesting as the alternative? Banning these is simply going to increase unemployment, and it's going to drive a lot of employers and employees completely into the black market, into the shadow economy.
Or is it going to actually show the state of the economy for real? I repeat the point that these people are registered as employed. So you get up in the morning, you want your kid to be able to, I don't know, have a school uniform, go on a school trip. You have absolutely no idea what you're earning in 2 days' time. You have no idea what you're earning next week. I repeat, how can people live their lives like this? And is it not for government to protect against it?
It's very difficult for people who are in that situation, as you've outlined. But for the majority of workers, that are on these contracts, they're happy with them. If you ban them, then what you're going to do is damage the economy and you're going to damage those people's livelihoods.
Natalie?
Well, I think one of the things I want to do is tackle what Ruth said about this is, oh, it's the small cafe, the small business. In fact, 23% of workplaces with more than 100 employees are using these, but only 6% of workplaces with fewer than 50 employees. So this is very much, I mean, we've seen in The Guardian this morning pointing out that 90% of McDonald's employees, majority of Subway employees are all on these kind of contracts. So what we have, we're talking about big business exploiting workers. Now, that big business, you know, should be perfectly well...
Well, you've just mentioned two brand names, sir. I have no idea of their internal work practices, and I'm deeply uncomfortable talking about them
if they're not on the programme with the right to reply. Big multinational companies that are well in a position to pay their workers fairly. If we look at a situation in terms of Germany, I mean, Germany bans 0 hours contracts. They have a provision that can allow for up to 25% of your hours to be flexible. But we're talking about big companies who can well afford to give their workers stability in their life.
You say,
so,
well...
Natalie, what are you going to do about a student who is working, for example, in a restaurant, and they want that kind of flexibility? If you ban these contracts, you take away their ability to have that flexibility.
Well, what you do with the student is have a situation where, say, you want to guarantee 10 hours a week or whatever, and you sign up to that, and then you're flexible about when those hours are. It's still perfectly possible.
But, no, it's not.
I mean, students
don't
in Germany, where these,
really want
indeed, most of the continent where these contracts are banned, students still are able to have flexibility. The question is that we all actually need to pay the bills at the end of the week, as Stephen was saying. Yeah, we need to know how much money's coming in, and we need some sense of certainty about that.
Yeah.
And these contracts simply aren't allowing that. This is part of a whole broader problem we have in Britain, that we also have where we have a minimum wage that's significantly below the living wage. And what we need to have to see happening is that people have jobs that they can build a life around.
Easy for you, though, Natalie, to say that these big companies can well afford to employ these people. With the state of the economy, some of these big companies, they're finding it as tough as anyone else. They need the flexibility to be able to drop staff when the demand isn't there. It's not you paying the bills.
I'd invite you to look at these
they've got to pay them.
Companies' profits. And I think if you look at the profits of these big companies, they can well afford this. You know, we have an economy whereby big companies and rich individuals are taking more and more money out of the economy, and there's less and less for the rest of us. The richest 10% of people got 12% richer last year, while the rest of us got poorer. We have a huge problem with inequality, and these kind of labour contracts are an important part of that.
Ruth?
The facts of the matter are that we know that the vast majority of people who are on these contracts are happy with them. We know that it's only 16% of people who are failing.
Well, I think that there are other surveys. But,
and it's incredibly difficult for some of those people who are in that situation. But what we know is that the alternative is that they don't have a job at all, or they end up being made even more vulnerable by being pushed out of the legitimate labour market into the shadow economy and into cash-at-hand jobs.
But what we have to think about is where these contracts are spreading. For example, we're thinking at the moment, talking about retail and care jobs are the obvious areas, but these are actually spreading into higher education. For example, at the Edinburgh University, 27% of the staff are on zero-hours contracts. If you look at doctors, accountants, IT professionals, all of these areas, these contracts are spreading like a disease right through our economy. And unless we do something to stop it, we're going to have a situation where huge numbers of people, we realise now we're up to 1 million already, this is just going to keep growing and growing unless we step in and stop it.
Part of the reason that we've seen this recent growth is most probably because we've seen in other areas there's always going to be substantial demand in an economy for flexible work, because demand in different sectors, in different areas, does fluctuate.
Well, of course there'll be variations in demand, and that's where an employer manager needs to work out how to deploy their workers to deal with that.
That was picked up through agency workers. But what we've seen with EU tightening up of regulations around flexible working is that we've seen a reduction in the number of people who are being employed through those traditional agency routes. And so that's likely to be part of what's driving these zero hours contracts.